भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमः श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः श्रृण्वतां सुकथा कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवण कीर्तना हृदयंतस्थोय भद्राणी विधुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो चैप्टर 19 एंटाइटल्ड द परफेक्शन ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज वर्सेस 11 टू वर्स नंबर 14 टुडे। सो वर्स नंबर 11 इज ऑन द बोर्ड। वील चैंट द वर्स 11 together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ittametat Pura Raja Bhishmam Dharma Bhritamvaram Ajata Shatru Prapaccha Sarveshamno Nushrinvatam। श्री भगवान वाच इत्थमेतत्पुरा राजा भीष्मं धर्मभृतां वरम् अजातशत्रु प्रपच्छ सर्वेषां नोनु शृण्वताम्। श्री भगवान वाच इत्थमेतत्पुरा राजा भीष्मं धर्मभृतां वरम् अजातशत्रुः प्रपच्छ सर्वेषां नोनु शृण्वताम्। श्री भगवान् उवाच इत्थमेतत्पुरा राजा भीष्मं धर्मभृतां वरम् अजातशत्रु पप्रच्छ सर्वेषामनु शृण्वताम्। श्री भगवान उवाच इत्थमेतत्पुरा राजा भीष्मं धर्ममृतां वरम् अजातशत्रु पप्रच्छ सर्वेषां नूनु शृण्वताम्। श्री भगवान् उवाच इत्थमेतत्पुरा राजा भीष्मं धर्ममृतां वरम् अजातशत्रु पप्रच्छ सर्वेषां नूनु शृण्वताम्। मताजी श्री भगवान उवाच इत्थमेतत्पुरा राजा भीष्मं धर्मभृतां वरम् अजातशत्रु पप्रच्छ सर्वेषां नोनु शृण्वताम्। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। श्री भगवान उवाच The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, इत्थम थस एतत दिस पुरा फॉर्मरली राजा द किंग भीष्मम अंटु भीष्म धर्म ऑफ रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स भृताम ऑफ द अपहोल्डर्स वरम अंटु द बेस्ट अजात शत्रु किंग युधिष्ठिर हु कंसिडर्ड नो वन हिज एनिमी पपृच्छ आस्ड सर्वेषां वाइल ऑल नह ऑफर्स अनुशृण्वताम वर केयरफुली लिसनिंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड सिंस नेक्स्ट थ्री वर्सेस टू वर्सेस डोंट हैव पर्पट सो देन वील रीड द ट्रांसलेशन एंड देन द पर्पट ऑफ टेक्स्ट 14 द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड माई डियर उद्धव जस्ट एज यू आर नाउ इंक्वायरिंग फ्रॉम मी सिमिलरली इन द पास्ट किंग युधिष्ठिर हु कंसिडर्ड नो वन हिज एनिमी inquired from the greatest of the upholders of religious principles, Bhishma, while all of us were carefully listening. When the great battle of Kurukshetra had ended, King Yudhishthir was overwhelmed by the death of many beloved well-wishers, and thus, after listening to instructions about many religious principles, he finally inquired about the path of liberation. I will now speak unto you those religious principles of Vedic knowledge, detachment, self-realization, faith and devotional service that were heard directly from the mouth of Bhishma Dev. I personally approve of that knowledge by which one sees the combination of 9, 11, 5 and 3 elements in all living entities. And ultimately one element within those 28 purport. The 9 elements are material nature, the living entity, the mahat-tattva, false ego, and the 5 objects of sense perception, namely sound, touch, form, taste and aroma. The 11 elements are the 5 working senses, the voice, hands, legs, anus and genital, plus the 5 knowledge acquiring senses, the ears, touch, eyes, tongue and nostrils, along with the coordinative sense, the mind. The 5 elements are the physical elements, namely earth, water, fire, air and sky, and the 3 elements are the 3 modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. All living entities, from mighty Lord Brahma down to an insignificant weed, manifest material bodies composed of these 28 elements. The one element within all 28 is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, who is all-pervading within the material and spiritual worlds. One can easily understand that the material universe is composed of innumerable causes and effects. Since Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes, all secondary causes and their effects are ultimately non-different from the personality of Godhead. This understanding constitutes real knowledge or jnana, which is essential for perfecting one's life. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा। जस्ट रीड द ट्रांसलेशन अगेन। The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Uddhav, just as you are now inquiring from me, similarly in the past, King Yudhishthir, who considered no one his enemy, inquired from the greatest of the upholders of religious principles, Bhishma, while all of us were carefully listening. When the great battle of Kurukshetra had ended, King Yudhishthir was overwhelmed by the death of many beloved well-wishers, and thus, after listening to instructions about many religious principles, he finally inquired about the path of liberation. I will now speak unto you those religious principles of Vedic knowledge, detachment, self-realization, faith and devotional service that were heard directly from the mouth of Bhishma. I personally approve of that knowledge by which one sees the combination of 9, 11, 5 and 3 elements in all living entities and ultimately one element within those 28. Hare Krishna. So, we continue our study from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto and this chapter Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. So, here in the beginning of this chapter, Uddhav or rather Lord Krishna, he speaks to Uddhav that how there are different kinds of knowledge and there are some who cultivate knowledge in a speculative way. So, this speculative kind of knowledge, which is mostly dry philosophical speculation, because it does not give any lasting result. It is more or less in the process of just analyzing without any end result or goal in life, the process. So it finally, result is that the person who is engaged in that kind of dry philosophical speculation, they ultimately give up that process of, because they don't get any result out of it. He says, but however, the pure devotees of the Lord, they are engaged in devotional service. And therefore, they eternally engage themselves in the service of the Lord. And here is the hint, of what is going to follow in this chapter. When Krishna is speaking about spiritual knowledge, so we know that in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, also Krishna speaks about different methods of approaching the absolute truth. So there is Jnana Yoga, there is Karma Yoga, and then there is Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. So here he is mentioning that how jnana, cultivating knowledge, is necessary, it is important, but then it should have a goal in mind why we are cultivating. And that question why is answered in ultimately finding what is the root cause of everything and how can we align with that ultimate cause, and that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so comes the process of Bhakti Yoga, that after knowing the ultimate cause, then what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to engage in the loving devotional service of the Lord. In the verse numbers 8 to 10, in the three verses, Uddhavji makes an inquiry and In answer to that inquiry, Lord Krishna starts speaking the section that is starting now. So I'll just read the questions just so that, you know, we understand the context. Shri Uddhav said, O Lord of the universe, O form of universe, please explain to me that process of knowledge which automatically brings detachment and direct perception of truth, which is transcendental and which is traditional among great spiritual philosophers. This knowledge sought by elevated personalities describes loving devotional service unto your Lordship. My dear Lord, for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. O Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence, where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions which awaken one to spiritual freedom. So, here we can see Uddhavji is basically making him as the recipient of this knowledge by describing the situation of all of us, basically. That how in this world of duality, everyone is, in this confusion of who am I, and the easy conclusion is that I am this body, and the purpose of my life is to work hard to accumulate things and surround ourselves with situations which will give happiness and satisfaction to our senses. So this is actually the situation of all of us in this material world. This world is a world of duality, and that is the main characteristic of this world, right? So there is nothing absolute in this world. It is mentioned that, of course, the nature of the matter is that it is not absolute, it is relative, it keeps on changing, mutating. The only thing which is absolute is the holy name of the Lord in this world, right? So if a person does not have proper knowledge and guidance, then it is very difficult to realize that we are living in duality. Many times it is very difficult for people to understand that we are not this body. In 1968, I think sometime, 68 or 67, Srila Prabhupada is giving a class in New York on Bhagavad Gita, and then he starts speaking that, I am not this body. So then one of the person in the audience, he is feeling that you are not this body, I am this body. So it was very difficult for, hear that the tape, it is very difficult. Prabhupada is trying in different ways to make him understand that he is not this body. And he was thinking that Prabhupada is saying that he is not this body. So the point is that unless the intelligence is purified with proper knowledge, it is very difficult to understand. So here what is being discussed is Sankhya or analytical study, and that requires a little purified intelligence, because otherwise it becomes very difficult to gauge what is going on. So although one may say that, we say that, this world is world of duality, there is nothing perfect, right? But actually, this imperfection is a perfect arrangement of the Lord to bring the conditioned soul to the realization of its constitutional nature, that who the soul really is or who that living entity really is, right? After going through repeated miseries in this world, someday the conditioned soul will come to that realization that all my efforts in trying to find happiness in this world are futile. So till that time, the person does not understand for him material world exists. Shankaracharya says that, you know, there is a very nice verse in Bhaj Govindam series. It mentions that Gyate Tatve Kaha Samsaram, that when a person till the when a person realizes the tattva or the complete understanding of the self, for him there is no samsara, for them there is no material existence, so there is no duality for that person. But till that point of time, we are always subjected to material dualities. So if we carefully read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he is speaking to Arjuna again and again about, you know, how he should become equipoised in face of dualities. Because the place that we are living in is characterized by duality. It cannot be avoided. And to understand that is to understand the actual nature of this material world, right? And once we have that understanding, then we don't get affected by it. So this realization has to come, and it comes when we cultivate proper knowledge through proper guidance. The duality which is closest to us, which we are actually living day in and day out, is the duality of our own self, that we keep identifying ourselves with the body, which is temporary and destructible. But actually the person who is identifying with that temporary and destructible body is eternal and non-destructible. So this is the greatest duality, that the eternal is thinking itself to be the temporary, right? So here in our being exist these dualities, the temporary covering, but the eternal holder of that covering, the eternal soul, right? So the battle of Kurukshetra, as this these verses also explain, that after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira was very much perplexed that so many well-wishers are killed, so many friends, relatives are killed. But this perplexity Arjun had right in the beginning of the battle. And in the first chapter we see that is called as Arjun Vishad Yoga. He is lamenting that, how can I kill? I don't want to kill. Because he is relating with all those who are assembled in that battle of Kurukshetra in terms of body and bodily relations. And then Krishna starts instructing, and the first instruction, the 11th verse of second chapter, Krishna says that, for those who are wise, they lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Right? Ashochyan anvashochastvam pragyavadamsya bhasase gatasun agatasumsya nanushochanti pandita. And in the purport, Prabhupada very succinctly mentions what is actually knowledge. And Prabhupada explains that knowledge means to know the matter and the spirit and the controller of both, right? So just understanding the nature of this material world as matter, destructible, is not sufficient. It is necessary, but it is not sufficient. We have to go further, that who has created, what is the cause of this creation, right? Who we are. So the matter is there, which is intrinsically dead. This microphone, it is dead. Unless someone works behind it, it cannot actually act. If we leave it like this, it will deteriorate over a period of time. You may know, all of you who are assembled here, you may know that, you know, from today, or today is the, you know, the class today is the last class in the temple hall. For the next 10 days, the classes will be held and the morning program will be held in the Bhakti Vedanta hall. And what is the cause of that? That we painted this ceiling some 12 or 15 years back, and it has remained like that. And with the effect of time, it is deteriorating. So that is matter. Although it's spiritual, because it is in the service of the Lord, but still we have to see that it is made up of material elements. So they require some attention. So we will be, you can see some cracks and all those things. So we will be, you know, doing some ceiling painting. So for that, the classes, the temple hall will be closed. Darshan will be available only from 7:45 to 9 o'clock every day. And of course, Lakshmi Narayan temple will be open. So those who come, you know, they can always have darshan of Lakshmi Narayan. So the point is that the real knowledge is to understand both the matter and the spirit and the controller of both. And that is the supreme spirit or the super soul. And this method of analyzing, the analytical study of material elements and the spirit soul, the nature of both and the correlation of both, is called as Sankhya Yoga. And the Lord describes this branch of knowledge also in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter. And you know, to help Arjun distinguish between the soul and the body. And in this verse number 14, the Lord is now explaining to Uddhav also that how he can understand the material elements. Because he asked the question, you know, how I can have knowledge, detachment, and faith, and devotional service, and self-realization. So, you know, unless we understand that, you know, this material world that we are functioning in, it is not our real nature, and it is not our real home, then there won't be any detachment. Because, you know, for us to get something gainfully, we should know that what, you know, things should be avoided. You know, there is, for artha pravritti, there should also be anartha nivritti, or, you know, becoming free from unwanted things to get something which is necessary. So here, this analytical study, it helps one to understand that we may be thinking ourselves in the terms of this body, but then what is this body actually made up of? So here Krishna is explaining that, you know, these are 28 elements. So certain things which are very easy to understand, we'll just, you know, I'll just mention, although many of you may know. So this body is made up of five senses, and 5 working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses and the coordinator mind. So that is the figure 11 that Lord Krishna speaks. So he speaks that, you know, this one should see, I approve knowledge by which one sees the combination of 9, 11, 5, 3 in all living entities. So what is this combination of 9, 11, 5, 3, which combined makes it 28. So the 9 include the 5 objects of sense perception, which is also called as tanmatra, which are the objects which are perceived by our senses. So these are, you know, the sound, you know, form, taste, smell and touch, right? So these are the 5 objects which our 5 knowledge acquiring senses perceive. So these knowledge acquiring senses are eyes see the form, ears hear the sound, tongue tastes the, you know, taste of anything, and you know, the nostrils, they smell, right? Yeah, so fragrance was also there, and the skin touches, right? So these are the 5 objects of senses, and then there are 4 other elements, which is the material nature, the whole material nature, mahat tattva, false ego and the living entity. And the 5 gross elements with which this body is made up of is earth, water, fire, air, ether, which we all can very easily understand and perceive. And the 5 working senses which make any action, which make anything possible, you know, any action possible. So these are hands, legs, again eyes, tongue, hands, legs, mouth, and anus and genitals, right? So these are the 5 working senses by which all the work is possible. And all these are acting under the purview of the 3 modes of material nature, which is goodness, passion and ignorance. And interestingly, you know, this counting of 28, as I got a little confused on it, you know, what is what. So sometimes these 28 elements are described by different philosophers in different ways. If we read in the 6th canto, there are prayers offered by Daksha Prajapati to Lord Vishnu. So these prayers are Hamsa Guhya prayers. In that also he mentions. And he mentions in those prayers, one of the 28 elements is the super soul, which, you know, he is trying to understand, and he is praying to that super soul that be pleased on me, Lord Vishnu, so that I can achieve what I am, you know, doing tapasya for. And again in the 11th canto only, later chapters, we see in chapter number 22, which is described as enumeration of elements of material nature, Uddhavji, he asks this question that different sages and philosophers have described these material elements differently. And then he gives some more numbers. He gives that these different numbers are 26, 25, some describe them as 7, 9, 6, 4, 11, 17, 16 or 13. Right? So, sufficient to confuse, right? But everything is in the realm of this material world only, in this material nature, right? So he asks this question, why did these sages, you know, what did they have in mind that, you know, they are describing it in so many different ways? Of course, Lord Krishna answers that question, and to know that, you can, you know, continue attending the classes, and Krishna very nicely explains that actually it's based on the angle of vision that you are seeing something, you perceive a thing in a different way, right? So he mentions that, you know, the different positions from which the sages and philosophers, they analyze something, they have described it in their own way. But if you understand overall, then there is no contradiction. Everything is, they are all describing one and the same thing. And then he says that the real conclusion of this Sankhya is to understand who is the cause of all this, and that is the super soul. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna speaks about this Sankhya and concludes the second chapter by saying that, you know, so, you know, the soul, the living entity, should always think of the Lord. And if a person leaves the body thinking of the Lord, then he can get liberated. He can become free from all the karma bandha. So Arjuna asks this question that, you know, speak clearly. It's very difficult to understand that, you know, you mentioned about analytical study and then you mentioned, you know, about working. What should one do? You know, tell me one thing. So this is what, you know, our situation always is, that, you know, we want an easy way out. That you tell me what to do and I will do that. Right? Don't ask me to think. That's what, you know, in one of our brahmachari classes, Shyamananthu was mentioning that there was one teacher who came and he was teaching, you know, some teacher's training course. So then there were some different methods adopted, and in that some methods are that, you know, you ask questions. So when, you know, audience asks question, the speaker has to think. And when the speaker asks question, the audience has to think, right, to answer. So then you are saying that from next day the audience reduced because they said, you know, he is asking us to think. You know, you speak, we'll hear, matter is over. You know, we are assured that, you know, whoever sits in the Bhagavatam class, they get a coupon, we'll have prasad and we'll go. Why complicate things? You know, we'll listen, na? What is the problem? So, but, you know, this is the general mentality, that you just tell me what to do and I will do it. Don't ask me to think too much. But this is not the way Krishna wants to teach. You know, Krishna is the best teacher. So he wants, because, you know, when we say that you give me the solution, so you are the owner of the solution and you are also owner of the problem which will be resulted by the solution. But when the person who wants the solution works on it, applies thought and understanding, then the solution becomes, you know, the person's, that, you know, we have worked for it, then we, whatever, you know, if there is a failure, so the failure is, yes, maybe I have not understood it properly or I have not applied it properly, right? So that's what, you know, the responsibility should shift to the person who wants, you know, something to be done. So that's what Krishna is trying to explain to Arjuna, that, you know, actually, you know, it is not that, you know, this is better or that is better. He's saying that try to understand, you know, what is the goal of both the processes. And in the fifth chapter, he mentions that, you know, what is achieved by Sankhya is the same thing which is achieved by Bhakti or Yoga also. Yat Sankhyai Prapyate Sthanam Tad Yogair Api Gamyate Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Yah Pashyati Sa Pashyati. He says, one who knows the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained, that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. And Prabhupada explains in the purport very nicely the synthesis of Sankhya and Bhakti Yoga. I'll just read, it's not a very long purport, short purport. The real purpose of philosophical research is to find the ultimate goal of life. Since the ultimate goal of life is self-realization, there is no difference between conclusions reached by the two processes. By Sankhya philosophical research, one comes to the conclusion that a living entity is not a part and parcel of the material world, but of the supreme spirit whole. So this Sankhya of analyzing the different material elements, so this is one of the processes of neti neti, or I am not this body, or I am not these different knowledge acquiring senses or working senses, or the five material elements, right, or even the mind. So this is the analytical study by which person understands, because you know we are so much, most of us we are like, you know, having proper body, so we think that, you know, this is me, but we know that sometimes a person may lose one hand or both the hands. So has the person reduced? The body has transformed, but the person is the same. The person may not have some ability to do some action, but that does not mean that the person himself is lesser, right? And similarly with all the different senses, knowledge acquiring sense, the person is blind, it does not mean that, you know, the person is lesser, or you know, so this kind of discrimination should not be done or cannot be done, right? And this is not just socially unacceptable, but even spiritually it is foolish if one thinks in these terms. And you know, what to speak of just humans, but even the different living entities who are having different forms than humans, they are also essentially of the same spiritual nature. That's what in the purport it is mentioned, that these 28 elements, they form the body of the highest living entity, Lord Brahma, up to a insignificant weed, right? But the person who is working through that body, the soul, is of the same quality, same spiritual quality, does not have any difference, right? It has the same potential and the same opportunity to again realize its constitutional position and engage in the loving service of the Lord. So this is the process of neti neti, that we analyze that, you know, we are not this body and like that. Consequently, the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material world. His actions must be in some relation with the Supreme. When he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is actually in his constitutional position. In the first process, Sankhya, one has to become detached from matter, and in devotional yoga process, one has to attach himself to the work of Krishna consciousness. Factually, both processes are the same, although superficially one process appears to involve detachment and the other process appears to involve attachment. Detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna are one and the same. A very significant, very, you know, important point. One who can see things as they are. So essentially, you know, when Krishna is describing here this Sankhya, so the goal is to understand the Lord, and so the culmination of Sankhya is in bhakti. And if it is understood correctly, it is actually non-different than bhakti. Prabhupada elsewhere gives another example, that to know that the subsistence of a plant is through the roots is Sankhya, and to pour water on the root is yoga. So if we have the knowledge that to keep the plant alive, the root has to be watered, and if the person does not act on it, then that knowledge is of only, it is information, but it is actually of, it is not helping that person. So essentially transcendental knowledge or real knowledge culminates in action. If the knowledge does not culminate in action, then it is just information, which is just some set of, you know, a conglomeration of some letters and words. That's all, right? So that is what computers understand, because there is no intelligence. But an intelligent person will understand that, okay, you understand the root, so you have to water. So you know, sometimes, as we mentioned earlier, that you know, this may seem to be little complicated. So bhakti yoga is very easy. You know, you just engage in the service of the Lord, right? And Sankhya may seem complicated if the intelligence is not purified, and bhakti is very simple, but many times it also becomes complicated if the ego is not purified. Because essentially bhakti yoga means service, and that's what we are here not to do. The reason why the living entity comes to this material world is to enjoy, not to serve, right? So everyone wants to become the master, no one wants to become the servant, right? So unless we understand this you know, significant point, that the purpose of this you know, or the real self-realization means to understand that we are not the enjoyers, but we are you know, facilitators of the supreme enjoyer, that we have to actually engage in the service of the Lord. And this requires a humble, menial attitude to serve the Lord, right? Which is you know, not very easy to achieve unless we have you know, proper blessings of you know, our teacher, our guru, and a favorable association, devotees, association of devotees. So sometimes the practice of bhakti yoga is or most of the times it is such that, you know, it directly puts the conditioned soul or the living entity in touch with the Lord. So what are the basic things, the basic you know, steps of bhakti yoga? It starts with shravanam, shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam, right? That you hear and you chant. And what are we hearing and what are we chanting? The holy names of the Lord, which is not different than the Lord. So actually the beginner neophyte also directly gets in touch with the Lord. But if it is not with proper understanding, which most of the times it happens that, you know, because we get it so easily, we get it so directly, that there may be some familiarity. And that familiarity breeds offensive mentality, right? And if the practitioner is not careful of it, does not cultivate the right kinds of attitudes, then you know, the person may lose the process or may not get the complete fruit of the process. So in order to fully realize, you know, the fruit of bhakti, the devotee should, you know, humbly, with great tolerance, stick to the process, even if, you know, initially we don't see any change happening. But we have to, you know, constantly stick to the process, do it over and over again with more attention and care. The simple process is even chanting, right? And you know, what to speak of other processes of deity worship and study of the scriptures like that. So Prabhupada many times he gave the example that you know, what an unripe mango has to do to become ripe. It has to just be connected to the tree, be connected to the nourishment that it is getting from the tree. It is just a matter of time that the unripe fruit can actually become ripened. So similarly, you know, we get the understanding of bhakti through the association of devotees. We learn how to engage in the service of the Lord by seeing other devotees engaging in the service of the Lord. And that's what one of the instructions, most important instructions that Rup Goswami gives in Nectar of Instruction is that one should ultimately cultivate a mood of particular devotional service by engaging in service under the guidance of some particular advanced devotee. Tad anuragi jananugami. Right. So one should cultivate a particular mood of devotional service under guidance of some pure devotee, right? And to practice that, it requires a lot of tolerance and lot of humility, because it is very easy, because if you are too close to something, the nature of the material world is that we become very familiar, that we then, you know, the person may become careless, but you know that will make us bereft of the final fruit of you know, the process of devotional service. And sometimes we want things too fast, too early. That is one of the flaws in bhakti or in the process of devotional service. Not the process is faulty, but the mentality, the attitude is not proper, right? So then that does not bear any result. You know, it is actually of no use. And it is just like, you know, what Vidurji explains to Dhritarashtra in Mahabharata. He says that, you know, a person, if he takes a unripe fruit, वनस्पते रूप अपक्वानि फलानि प्रचिनोति यः स न प्राप्नोति रसम तेभ्यो बीजम चास्य विनश्यति. अ पर्सन हु टेक्स द अनराइप मैंगो, ही नॉट ओनली गेट्स एनी टेस्ट बट ऑल्सो लूजेज द अपॉर्चुनिटी ऑफ हैविंग अ सीड फॉर फ्यूचर ट्रीज. बट इफ अ पर्सन हैज पेशेंस and is determined to continue the process, then it is like a person who sees the fruit and is also patiently attending to it. You know, the unripe, it will gradually become ripe. And a ripe mango or the ripe fruit not only gives taste, but also has the capacity to bear more trees out of the seed that it gives. Right, so you know, many times one of the things that we see is that, you know, after getting a little knowledge here and there, learning something here and there, learning some shlokas, and you know, person starts thinking that, you know, now I know everything, and now I can I don't need association of devotees, I can actually give, I can create association of devotees, right? So that kind of enthusiasm is good of sharing, but it should not be at the cost of, you know, plucking the fruits unripe, because that does not give the taste and it does not have the capacity for future. So similarly, you know, we should see that, you know, whatever we are, whatever services we are doing, whatever you know, we should always keep the association of devotees as one of the most important and primary things. Because, and we can see time and again in so many verses throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been repeated again and again that it is only the association of devotees. So whether it is Jad Bharat, he is speaking to Rahugana, so he is speaking all the, he spoke all this Sankhya, that who is thin, who is thick, who is strong, who is weak, what are you thinking? So he explains all this difference of body and soul, but then he ends with Rahu Ganesa Tapasa Nayati Na Chejaya Nirvapana Duradva Na Chandasa Naiva Jalavani Shureyor Vina Mahat Pada Rajovishekam. He concludes that unless you have association of devotees, unless you take shelter of the devotees, you cannot achieve the ultimate result or the ultimate achievement of this human form of life, achieving the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, without the association, without the mercy of the devotees. And so, while we are counting, Krishna is giving so many different counts, 28, and then further we will see 26, 25, whatever. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also given some more counts, 24 counts. In one of the songs, he says that, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, Dayar Sagar, Edase Karuna Kori. And he says, what can association of devotees give? Chaya Bega Domi, Chaya Dosha Shodhi, Chaya Guna Deho Dase, Chaya Satsanga, Deho Yamare, Boshichi Sange Raja. That you keep me in association, keep me in your association, he's praying to a Vaishnava. So that by your association, I will be able to contain or control the six urges, chaya bega, the six urges which are described by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction, vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam. And chaya dosha shodhi, that you purify me of the six faults which actually make or scuttle the progress of devotional service, which is atyahar, prayashash, prajalpo, niyamagraha. And then he says, by your association, I'll get these six qualities, which are very favorable for discharge of devotional service. That is, utsahan, nishchayat, dhairyat, tat tat karma, pravartanat. And then, by your association, I will get, the taste in reciprocating with the devotees in six loving exchanges. Dadati pratigrahanati, right? So, we can see that after all this analysis, the simple truth which actually remains is that we have to come to the conclusion or understanding that Krishna is the ultimate cause, and Krishna can be achieved only by or through his devotees. And we can see that this is what the parampara system that Krishna himself has established in the Bhagavad Gita. This knowledge, he very emphatically says that this knowledge can be understood and received only in parampara, evam parampara praptam. Right? And Krishna not only speaks about parampara, but we can actually see that Krishna acts on the basis of that knowledge which he is giving. So in this verse, when Uddhavji has asked these questions, Lord Krishna starts by saying that similarly, in the past, King Yudhishthira also asked these questions to Bhishma, which we heard very carefully. And I will repeat the same. So, one may feel, but Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, he is the best teacher and he is teaching through his example, through his humility, that I am also going to repeat what the authorities have said, right? So this is how the parampara is established by the Lord. And it is not just established, but it is perpetuated and securely, firmly secured by him by practicing that. So, this is how the parampara system works, that it is not just that, we know and we speak, but then we also receive. And when we can humbly serve our parampara, our predecessors, then the flow of knowledge can go through us and it will benefit us and it will benefit those who are receiving. So we can see that, you know, this humble attitude is what is the most important. And there are so many examples which are there in the our Vaishnava literature. We'll just end that, this Brahman from Srirangam, he did not even know how to read the Sanskrit, but he had the highest of realizations because he had this simple and humble attitude of following the instructions of his guru, and he had that appreciation towards understanding the nature of the Lord. So similarly, although this may seem to be very difficult, Sankhya, but then in association of devotees, the bhakti yoga becomes very easy to follow if we maintain the right kind of attitude. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry I went over time. Please forgive. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I'm coming to you.